your copy of the Word of God to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when the people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn our attention now to your word. We ask for hearts that would have eyes to see. Lord, minds that would receive your words this morning. Affections drawn towards you and worship and praise. Lord, we need the Spirit who inspired these words to come now and bring light and apply them to us, Lord. So we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we reflect on what would have been possibly under different circumstances. Some of you may have thought back to, you know, what would it have been like if I had just invested a little bit of money in Microsoft in 1986? What would it have been like? When I was in high school in our economics class, we had a guy come in and he told us what it was like. He invested $5,000 in Microsoft in the early 80s, and in 1999, his stock was worth $230,000. That's what it would have been like. And so we sometimes reflect back, like, what if I had done this? Sometimes we reflect on things that are a little less certain, like, you know, what if I wouldn't have met this person at this time in my life? Sometimes we sit there and we think back, like, what would have been different about my life, maybe positively or even negatively? Sometimes on the more negative side, we know from historical circumstances how things would have been different. So my wife, Kara, she has relatives that were booked passage on the Titanic. And someone in the family became ill, and so the whole family canceled the trip. Now, there are things we know from what happened to the Titanic. One of the things that they know is that they were not in first class. They would have been somewhere way down below, and now they would be at the bottom of the sea, and I wouldn't be standing here with you this morning, and Kara wouldn't exist. And so sometimes we reflect on, like, what would have been if that had not happened, if someone had not become ill. The course of history would have been very different. And what David in this psalm invites us to consider is what would have been, not in an abstract, like, I wonder what would have been, or to consider the various possibilities, but to consider what most certainly would have been had not something happened. Specifically, we hear there in the opening refrain, this two times he repeats it, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, the psalmist says. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. David invites us this morning to consider reality as it most certainly would have been had not the Lord intervened. And the first thing we see looking at verses 1 to 5 is that without the delivering presence of the Lord God, God's people would be utterly destroyed. Without the delivering presence of the Lord, God's people would be utterly destroyed. We see this in verses 1 to 5. And the first thing that I think David invites us into here, in this reality that without the delivering presence of the Lord, God's people would be utterly destroyed, is an invitation to wonder at the destruction that would have overtaken God's people. Here's an invitation to stand in awe with our mouths hanging wide open at would have become of God's people had God not been with them. Look there in verses 1 through 5. David unpacks it for us with three poetic images. Three images to help us see that reality that we as God's people would be utterly destroyed apart from the delivering presence of God. These images we can summarize in the images of being swallowed, the image of being swept away, and the image of being submerged. The first image comes there in verse 3. When people rose up against us, says David, then they would have swallowed us up alive. I think the image here is of an earthquake. The image is of an earthquake. You know, it's possible that David's imagining some huge beast, you know, that could have swallowed up the people. But I think it's more likely that he's thinking and reflecting on in the history of God's people. Do you remember when God opened up the earth to swallow up those who were in rebellion against him? I don't know if you've ever experienced an earthquake. Growing up in Papua New Guinea, it's just all the time earthquakes. But usually they're pretty small. Occasionally they get a little bit bigger. And there's something that's particularly disconcerting and reminds you of your frailty when you can't do anything. The whole ground underneath you is shaking and moving. You're just this little person and the house is swaying and the mirrors are rattling and the windows and you got nothing, right? You just stand there and wait for it to go past, or if it's really big, you run outside because, you know, these houses aren't made very well and there's going to come down over your head. But imagine the image here. David says, then they would have swallowed us up alive. It's one thing to have the earth shake or even to have a house come down, but the sheer helplessness of someone standing on the ground just to have it give way underneath you. You know, when we were kids, we'd always play down by the river, swim in the river every single day of our lives. And it was one of these rivers that winds its way through, and it's always changing, right? Because it's rainforest, 300 inches of rain a year. The river goes up and down. It just eats away at the bank. And so one of the things that we like to do is go up to the edge. Maybe it would be, you know, between 6 and 10 feet down to the river. And you look, and you can see how far under it's carved out beneath you. You know, it's like, I wonder how far out over the edge I am. And it was really fun to stand and let it collapse and you'd fall down into the riverbank and it was great fun. But to have the earth simply give way underneath you and swallow you up is a terrifying image. The second image that David uses is the image of being swept away. Then they would have swallowed us up alive, he says. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent, David talks about. We have two images here of water. And I think most of you know that water is one of the most destructive forces on the planet. We don't experience a lot of the destructive force of water in Manitoba. You know, we don't have waves, giant waves in the ocean eating away coastline. We have some rivers. We have some small waterfalls. We do have rapids. But we don't have monsoon rains that bring floods that just simply eat away whole villages or bring landslides. Not being close to the ocean, we don't live with a fearful expectation of the dreaded tsunami. But many of you will vividly remember, especially over the past several years as now the media age that we live in, when disasters happen across the world, we immediately get to see images of those. And you'll remember images from the various destructive tsunamis that have happened in the past 10 years even. Images of water coming in, and you just see buses and cars and boats just being swept right along as if nothing could stop this great force of water. That's the destruction that would have overtaken God's people that David invites them to reflect on in this moment. The flood would have swept us away. It's a powerful picture. The water's just coming through. We've seen news footage also of floodwaters coming through, people clinging on top of this little thing or that little thing, just hoping that someone will save them out of that before the water comes, because they know the moment that they're in those floodwaters, all hope is lost. There's nothing that can stop the power of that water sweeping through. They know that they will be carried away. And so David invites us this morning to consider that is the reality. God's enemies would sweep away God's people just as easily as a flood would sweep away a small child. The third image he uses, because, you know, we haven't quite grasped the picture yet. We're not quite there. We don't quite understand the reality of this destruction, is the image of the torrent, the raging waters submerging now. Now we're not just being swallowed up by the earth, and we're not being swept away by the powerful water. Now we're the water is rising. It's up to our necks, and there's no help for us around us. There's nothing to grab onto. There's nothing to hold ourselves out any longer. And here's the image. God's enemies, with anger kindled against God's people, like a torrent just about to rise right up over their heads, to rage like waters. Verse 5, then over us would have gone the raging waters. And so there's an invitation in these vivid images to wonder at the destruction that would have overtaken God's people had not the Lord been on their side. Without the delivering presence of the Lord, God's people would be utterly destroyed. There's no room in any of these three images for anything to be left over. You know, someone kind of gets out. No, they're swallowed up, they're swept away, and they're submerged under the anger of the enemies. The second thing that I think we're invited to consider here in verses 1 to 5, the second thing is an invitation to wonder at our helplessness. to withstand enemies. God's people's helplessness to stand against the opposition that comes against them. David invites us again. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, consider your helplessness. Each of these three images that he's unfolded here in the swallowing and the sweeping and the submerging emphasize the helplessness of God's people. He doesn't say, if the Lord had not been on our side, you know, the losses would have been greater. We would have lost maybe a few extra thousand people in this conflict. Or we would have lost a little bit more of ground that we had gained. No, what's emphasized here is the utter helplessness of people apart from God. In each of these images, as you would sit there and let the image play in your mind vividly, every time you will feel your helplessness, the helplessness of the ground giving way underneath you, the helplessness of someone facing that torrent that's just coming with nowhere to cling, the helplessness of gasping your last breath as the water rises up over your head and you have no recourse. This is an invitation to wonder at our utter helplessness apart from the delivering presence of the Lord. But the point is that the Lord was on the people's side. The Lord was for his people. That's the point. And so a fresh and vivid reflection on what would have become of us apart from the delivering presence of God paves the way for rich doxology. It paves the way for deep and robust praise to the Lord. For God has indeed been on the side of his people. And so when we get to verse 6, David says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I've taken you through this exercise to reflect on what would have most certainly been so that you can truly grasp the glory of being delivered by the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord is the praise that most naturally and most certainly flows out of God's people when they've grasped the danger from which they've been saved. When they see the destruction that stood against them, and that when they truly see the reality that they were helpless to withstand it. They were helpless to withstand it. You see, in the history of God's people regularly forget the gravity of the situation from which they've been delivered. We see that again and again. Not only does God, in the history of redemption across the pages of Scripture, show us that he's in the business of coming to weak and needy and insignificant and helpless people and rescuing them in their great need, he also shows us that those same people are quick to forget the deliverance that he has wrought for them. And so he specifically warns Israel when they're coming into the land, specifically warns them, lest you forget the deliverance that I worked for you. Lest you forget that it was by my might and my power that I brought you up out of Egypt. Lest you forget that it was me who delivered the land to you. And so here in the psalm, David is just freshly reminding the people of God, take a moment and consider what would have been if it would not have been for the Lord. And as we do that, this fresh and vivid reflection culminates in praise and blessing to the Lord God Almighty. But even as the breath comes out and David says, "Blessed be the Lord," he's got to pile a couple more images on just to drive it home for us this morning. You know, if the swallowing and the sweeping and the submerging wasn't enough, he brings it, I think, more present to us. You know, that would have been, the God's people would have been totally destroyed apart from the saving presence of God with them and for them. And yet, perhaps some of those enemies and some of that destruction was seen from a distance and God stopped it. You know, maybe it was still far away, and so the reality of it didn't quite press home. But now as David blesses the Lord, he brings it immediately to us. It's not that we were delivered from destruction that was way far away, and we just never even saw it. No, two more images need to be shown the immediacy of our danger. The first is that of prey in the mouth of a lion. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. So we are to think of ourselves as the lamb in the jaws of the lion. Totally helpless. And in immediate danger. Immediate danger. And it's the Lord who has delivered us right out from the mouth of the lion. And so David presses home here the immediacy of the deliverance. It's not just from something that was far away and praise the Lord, it never got to us. No, we were in the very clutches of the beast. But praise be the Lord who has not let that lion overcome us. The second image is of being trapped, ensnared. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare's broken and we have escaped. Just in case you were imagining yourself as strong, now you're a lamb in the jaws of the lion. Now you're this little bird, snared. I don't know if you've ever seen a bird in a snare, but it's kind of pathetic. Just flapping and flailing around. You know, birds aren't very strong. I don't know if you know that, but, you know, what do they weigh? A couple of ounces, even the bigger ones. And once they're in a snare, I mean, they flail and they flap, but they're not going anywhere. They don't have strength to get themselves out. It's over. And yet the Lord comes for his people and he delivers them right out of the snare of their enemies. And you see the completeness of the deliverance here where he says the snare is broken and we have escaped. God doesn't just kind of release them and set them free, but the snare, you know, the snare is still there. They're just going to fly back into it later. No, he destroys the snare and brings complete and total deliverance for his people. And so we praise the Lord for his great deliverance. Blessed be the Lord is the cry of the people of God. Now, we got to notice something here this morning. These images are very familiar images to us. These same images that we see in this psalm, speaking of the enemies against the people of God, are used in David's own writings elsewhere. You know, we don't know which times of deliverance that David has in his mind. But I think David's writing in generality is knowing that for all times, God's people will be able to sing this psalm. Every time and place God's people find themselves with truthfulness, with veracity, with conviction, God's people will always be able to say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, this would be the case for us. And this was David's prayer for deliverance again and again. Same images, right? Think of Psalm 69. But as for me, my prayer to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from the sinking mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me off, or the pit close its mouth on me. These are the images that David used in his own crying out to the Lord for deliverance in whatever form that opposition took against him. And we see these images used across the pages of Scripture. These same images are used in terms of the judgment that God brings against his covenant-breaking people. We read of Babylon swallowing up God's people and later being forced to spit them out again. The same images are used of our present spiritual bondage apart from the work of God in Christ. We are enslaved, ensnared, helpless. The same images are used of our present enemy, sin and Satan. The devil and pictured as a lion seeking someone to devour. The devil pictured as one who sets a snare for the people of God, seeking to entrap them and destroy them. And these same images, the image of being swallowed, the images of the waters of judgment are used with reference to the final judgment that will face all of humanity. And so all of God's people in every time and place can sing and indeed must sing songs like this one and spend time reflecting if the Lord had not been the one who was on our side. This is the way that Paul argues in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, here David calls God's people to reflect on the glory of the past deliverance of God, to reflect on our helplessness apart from the intervening, delivering power of God Almighty for his people, to consider the utter and complete and total destruction that would indeed have overtaken us apart from his intervention. And when we look to Christ, we see our deliverance. And yet there we see the one who did not escape the flood, who did not escape the torrent, but who stood and took its full force upon himself. The full force of the righteous judgment of God against sin. And yet when he took it, he swallowed it whole, and we see that our enemy death was swallowed up in victory in Christ's work on our behalf. And so Paul points us there. If God is for us, who can be against us? How do we know he's for us? How do we know that? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. You look to the cross and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And there, as you put your hope in him and in his work, you know it's settled once for all in history. And then you say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And not only does that give us confidence for the present, but now we have hope for the future. How will he not also graciously give us all things? as we have been helpless and God has worked on our behalf in our helplessness, so now we have confidence that everything before us is yet a small thing in comparison to the work that God has done in Christ. And so we have great hope. And so the reality that without the delivering presence of the Lord, God's people would be utterly destroyed. When it presses home into our hearts and our lives, it overflows with praise at the great deliverance of God, and then it confirms us in hope for today. You notice the confession in verse 8. The last confession here is, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now we know what it means to say our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That is not a little word. It is not a little word to say our help is in the name of the Lord. We know what our help looks like. Without this help, we are utterly lost. We are utterly destroyed. There is no hope for us. To confess that our help is in the name of the Lord is to confess the entirety of this psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we would remain dead in our trespasses and sins. We would remain under the righteous curse of the law. We would remain under the just condemnation of a good and holy God, and we would suffer the consequences in eternity. To confess our help is in the name of the Lord. Is to say, all that we have is in Him. All of our hope is in Him. We have no chance of any salvation without Him. You know, I don't know what churches preach about who don't really believe that these deliverances in the life of the people of God, in the life of the servant of God, David, really even happened. I don't know what they preach about who don't believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate, come in the flesh. I don't know what they preach about who think that human beings are not totally depraved, are not totally ensnared in sin, are not completely helpless apart from the sovereign intervening grace of God in Christ by the Spirit. But I definitely don't know what they sing about. I have no idea what you would sing about, but look here, brothers and sisters, at the fuel for what we sing. And I believe you heard that in the songs this morning. Brothers and sisters, if you have not settled in your mind the depth of your need, the extent of your dependence, and the exclusive rescue of God in Christ, then your praise will not be freed to soar like a bird rising from the snare, but will remain flailing around on the ground. And neither will you be weaned from the illusion of self-esteem and self-reliance in order to freshly rest today in the surety of help for tomorrow. You see, if you have not grasped, brothers and sisters, the utter helplessness of your estate apart from Christ, and sang with conviction and reality, verse 6, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth, then you will have little confession of verse 8 in your life, because it will not be meaningful for you to say, our help is in the name of the Lord. So sit long with this song. Sit here until you see the glory that David saw. Sit here until your heart rises in verse 6, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sit here until your confession is David's confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray.